We have a report on our missions endeavor, our trip to Russia, and I'm always drawn to a particular passage in the book of Acts when we share to have some biblical justification and some precedence. After Paul and Barnabas's first missionary journey, according to Acts 14, they had gone through and visited several churches, mostly in Asia Minor. And it says, when they had appointed, this verse 23, when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there, they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And so we are going to share with you what had transpired, and also have to include verse 28. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. So we plan to stay a long time as well. Not run off again for a little while. But what we're going to do, James is going to come and share first for a few minutes. He's going to focus on some of the specifics of some of the people that we had time with, focusing on the teaching time. And then we are going to have a slide presentation that will essentially provide a chronological view of what transpired to give you a little bit of a taste of what it was like so that you can see and experience, and we'll have a few tales to tell along the way. But at this point, James is going to come and share.
So we went, one of the things that, you know, was, I was going along was, well, how am I going to present information to the church, just to kind of share what, you know, I've been going through. And when, what, as thinking about it and going through the class time and being with the people, even though there's the boundary, the kind of the constriction of language, you can gain a lot of personality just by watching the people interact, watching how they interact amongst themselves in the class. And so what I wanted to do was share with you the people that we encountered as we were going through our time here. And the first thing we did is that when we got there, well, let me back up a little bit. On Russia, you know, Russia is a huge country. I mean, it's mammoth. And you think about the geographical extent of the country, you know, it goes all the way up into past the Arctic Circle. It goes way down, you know, into the Stans and goes to Siberia. You have the European influence. So as a culture, they have a tremendous variety of what's existing with the people there. And you can see that as you're walking, like you're walking through the streets of Moscow, you can see the incredible variation of the people groups that are there. But one of the reasons why this Antioch Initiative is so important, again, is the fact that they have a common language. You go there, you speak Russian, they all are different language groups, I mean people groups, but they share a common language. So it's a very powerful tool that we have to spread the gospel there. And when we first got there, we got to go to a country church. And this church reminded me a lot of home. It was in Russian. The services was 3 hours long. We had multiple pastors. We got there, and Pastor Peter said to both of us, said, "You're preaching." I'm like, "Excuse me? You want me to do what?" And I'm sorry, that's not my calling. So I basically gave my testimony to it. But these are some pictures initially of that time where we were in that in that service. And Pastor and I were kind of crunched up. We've been traveling all day. We're squished up on the side of this building on little wood pews. And Misha, the interpreter, was talking to us. And there's a little lady behind him smacking him, telling him to be quiet. Because, hey, you know, I'm trying to listen to the sermons here. And so he's, you know, getting in trouble in the service here. Oops, come on. So let me see if I can get the... Oops. Is it... What's that? Oops. Nope, don't want that one. Ah, I gave away my fun. Ah. So it's going backwards. Hold on. There we go. Anyway, this was the pastor of the little church we were in. And he gave us a brief history. And I want you to remember this, to get personalities, what these people are going through. In particular, I want you to continue to pray for the church in Russia. We can see it. We talked with them about political things. And Putin is starting to kind of, you can see the iron jaw starting to close. And these people need to be prepared to present the gospel. And I was very impressed with the students and their theological understanding of things. They seem to have a very good grasp on a lot of these concepts. But we need to pray for them. In particular, like this pastor, he's pastor of the little church. He's a third-generation pastor. So his family has seen persecution. He knows what it's like to go through that. And this is another pastor. And so what they did in the Harvest Festival, they had different pastors come in and they would talk. And they would give, you know, a little sermonette, really, like 10, 15 minutes that they would talk in this time. And this is just another one of the pastors in the area. This young man gave his testimony. And he's told how he had been in drugs, alcohol, been in rehab centers, and how coming to the same knowledge of Christ, he had been released from that bondage. And he was, the tears were flowing from his face when he gave the thanks for the freedom he had gained in Christ. This individual, it was funny because he's very friendly and had no idea what he's talking about, but he came up and kept rubbing my head and making comments about the fact that I didn't have any hair. So he thought that was rather funny. He's like, okay, well, he liked that. He thought that was amusing because actually I was very, most people there had hair, so I guess maybe it was something to do with the cold. This lady, she sang a solo, and her voice, you know, I'm not very, I mean, musically inclined. I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, but her voice was incredible. You know, she was singing a Russian song, and it was just, I mean, almost angelic. A wonderful voice that she had. It was very, very nice song. And this is just one of the ladies in the church. You know, it's one of the old ladies. She's helping serve the meal, and I capture a picture here and give you some of the older people. Predominantly, the church is older. There's a few younger people, but mostly it's the older people in the church. And this, what happens is they gave up, and there were different parts that they would do in the ceremony, or in the service. And there were a lot of poetry that was written and or read, and songs that were sung during the service. And I captured this lady's hands. And I looked at her hands, and it's unfortunate, you probably can't see a lot of the detail in there, but they're, you know, the weathered, and she is probably, I have no idea how old it was, but I gather that she had been a Christian for a long time. So again, she had seen the persecution that existed in there. And this is a lady here, very, very friendly. Afterwards, Pastor and I were almost kidnapped by her. We were told that we are not allowed to leave, that too many people are leaving Russia, and they need to come back. And she was the one who basically quite emphatic about the fact, no, you need to stay here. You need to move to this area here. And I said, well, I need to go get my family before I can do that. So I need to check with them if they want to do that. Then there was the kids. And it's funny because this is a group, there's a family of three kids here, and they were very friendly, and you couldn't talk very much, but they were wanting to do stuff, and they wanted to share with us, and they just wanted to be around us. We have pictures of them, you know, being with hugs, and you can see here just kind of doing different, just being kids. And there was a language barrier there, but they were friendly, and it's funny, one of them came up to me, and I had taken an iPad with me with pictures so I could show pictures while we were there. And one kid walks up to me and goes, iPad. Okay, I mean, this is a little tiny farming village, you know, basically Bodunk, you know, Russia, but the kids knew what an iPad was. And the one boy here, he had his cell phone out, and he's taking pictures of his cell phone. He's got his little translator, so he's trying to pull up stuff in Russian and translate it over into English, and I can't remember what it was, but he was showing the, kind of just trying to share. And very, very friendly kids. Now, these are the pastors that we have in our class. And so some of you have been over there, probably recognize some of these individuals. And the first one is Andre. And he came into class, and immediately there was a rapport. Very, very kind man. And he sat across from me, so I got to interact with him a lot during class and see things, and he smiled. And you can see that he was concerned about what he's wanted to learn. But it also seemed like his life was a little crazy, and I'll explain probably why I think that happened. He's married to Tamara, and I think this is why his life's a little crazy. He has six kids. So, you know, juggling things, trying to run, do that. And he said in Russia that he is actually heckled, teased, abused for the fact that he has such a large family. He says, why do you have so many kids? You know, that's not right. You shouldn't have so many kids. And when you look at it right now in Russia, the population growth is negative. Russia is dying as a civilization. The Russian civilization is dying because they have negative population growth. There are a lot of people who are immigrating. They also just do not have the birth rate to sustain their culture. And so it's you know, it's very sad. And I think he's unusual. And he said, yeah, it's crazy. I have lots of kids. I get, you know, people don't like that. But this is what God has told me to do. And his employment, he's actually a handyman. He kind of does jobs on the side. So most of these individuals, they have two jobs. They preach, you know, on Sunday, they prefer, but they also have to have a regular job in order to sustain themselves. And I'll share a little bit more about this. In particular, there's a very interesting interaction between him, Andre, and Jan, which shares a little bit more about their personality and what they deal with. Pastor Peter, you've seen plenty of pictures of him. And it's interesting because he was definitely the spokesman of the church. He's married to Galena. They have five kids. Three of them, are out married. There's Michael, who's at home studying computer programming. And then Anna, who is his daughter, is about 13. And she sent us a nice little picture. But she's a typical little teenager. And she had kind of shy when we were first around, but warmed up as we were going along. And she actually, her father gave us a neat little pictures that she had drawn. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send a picture of it with our kids back to him so they get to see to share the picture. And he's a superintendent. So what they have is they have unions, which is basically like a congregation. He is the superintendent in the Belgrade region. And he actually is pretty sharp. He knows his theology. And it was fun to watch the interaction through the interpreter of pastor when we're dealing with theological issues. And I'll get to that in a second when I go through some of the, looking at the test questions that they had, to get an idea so you can get a flavor for what these discussions were like. This is Peter, another Peter. He reminded me of came in smiling right away, and he could tell he's kind of like the life of the party. And people there, he's hugging everybody, and it's just the intensity of the room and the energy is kind of looped up when Peter comes into the room. He's married. I believe he has two children, probably older children. He's a pastor of two churches. It's just a regular church that he has, and then he's also a gypsy church that he works with here. And he reminds me of just a big old bear. And they joked about the Russian bear there, but he was just a friendly, lovable kind of guy with lots of pizzazz in his personality. Leonid. And he's a younger man, very reserved. He was sick for a lot of the time when we were in class there, so he was kind of having to leave class because he had to go to the hospital to get treatment he had like a cold. He's married. He also has two children. Jacob is one of his children. I didn't get the name of the other one. And he is an appliance repairman. That is his primary job. But he's also the assistant in the church there in Goopkin to Pastor Peter. And then this is his little son, Jacob. We got in the car. He was taking us back, and Jacob was pooped. And so he's over there fast asleep in the back seat of the car. And if it's interesting, you notice, no car seat. So, and driving over there, it's driving. I've seen worse. I've been to Mexico, I've been to Thailand, the driving in Moscow and there is nothing compared to those areas. So, it's all relative. Constantine, he came in a day late. And he is just, again, very, very friendly, outgoing individual. The first day we were there, he shared with us right off the bat that he had a concern for his father's brothers who were not saved. And so he wanted us to pray for his brothers-in-law, that they would come to know Christ, and very tender heart towards the Lord. He actually, in his sermon, they had to give a sermon during the time in the class. That was one of their skills that they had to do. And his actually was pretty good. He wasn't given the assignments beforehand, so he kind of made up his and taught out of Luke. But he actually did a pretty good job of presenting from his sermon. He has two children, and he's kind of like the main missionary coordinator for the Belgrade region in the Baptist Union there. And this last comment is, I don't blink he's Russian. And the reason is that he smiles too much. And it's true. We were in a store in Moscow, and they came up to us and said, "You're not Russian because you smile too much." And she thought I was something else because I was kind of tired and wasn't smiling. Pastor, she said, "Yeah, you're American because you're smiling all the time there." But it's interesting. They have that thing where they don't smile. And I've heard that before, that they can tell Americans because we smile. Andrew, number two. He's kind of the dark, silent, quiet type of individual. Didn't get much out of him. Hard to get a conversation going with him. He's married, has two adult children. I know he's in the military because he's a truck driver. Is his predominant occupation. But he would usually add comments. His comments were pretty much spot on. He would have to say something. He was like, there actually was some content to what he was talking about. So he knew, and he was very much paying attention, even though he's very quiet. Boris was a young man, probably late 20s, early 30s. Did a very good job with his sermon as well. Married, they have two children, and he's a construction worker. Ed, he does his predominant job, and he's been building his own home. So we kind of commiserate a little bit about the fact that he has been, you know, building a project and it goes on and on and on, you know, and he's got most of it done. He needs to get natural gas hooked up and some of the electrical stuff hooked up there. But, you know, you can imagine the life that you have to do where you're trying to prepare for church. You have your job, you have your family, and it's very challenging for these men to do that. Jan, he came in, and he was a kind of a rambunctious type as well. He's married. He has two adopted children. He's an appliance repairman. And this guy, you could tell, because he would challenge Pastor Peter in their discussion. You couldn't tell what was going on, but you could tell there was, you know, discussion on these theological issues we were dealing with. We were dealing with the doctrine of salvation. That was the predominant topic. So, you know, there's some non-trivial things in there that you have to deal with in the doctrine of salvation. And they would go back and forth, and Jan would, I mean, he'd be going after Pastor Peter with it, and he'd bring up comments during the, like, the other people's sermons and stuff. He'd find a, you know, a small theological point, you know, that's not quite right, and he would bring up stuff. Very, very, very sharp individual. And when we were there, he was actually having a very interesting discussion with Andrew, the first Andrew, about the fact that he goes, I have a job, I have a family, and I have a church that I have to take care of. How do I balance those all out? How do you balance it? You know, and that's something that I hope that you can pray for them when they deal with this, because it is a challenge for them to do that. He's got a very successful, sounds like he's got his own business. He's very successful with it, but it demands a lot of his time. So pray that Jan will know how to balance that and figure out what the, you know, how to keep everything in together. Then finally, Misha. Misha was our interpreter. We met him at the train station, and Pastor Peter described him as his tongue. You know, he used his tongue for him. So we couldn't do anything without Misha. I mean, he was there, and it was interesting because sometimes he would basically, you could tell he was doing almost a verbatim, word-for-word interpretation was going on. Other times it was kind of like, okay, he's just giving them the, you know, the 50,000 feet flyover synopsis of what was going on. And we get that other times when he's doing that. He's single. He is currently in seminary. And he, like I said, he was the interpreter for what we had there. And it's interesting, though, he had just come over to North Carolina, sponsored by another church this past summer. And so we had an interesting comparing things. And he said, the two things that stand out was, one, he said, our clothes are so cheap and they're so well made. He said something like that, you know, like he had a pair of Wranglers. He said that would just be incredibly expensive in Russia. And he said the other thing was our food portions, because, you know, our dinner plates are about this big when we were there. Small portions, that's what we had for our meals. And he said the food over there was so big. And the other thing that really kind of amazed me says that, yeah, you get those huge sodas. And he says, then you can go back. You get it for free. You know, so it's interesting to get to see the different things on his view on things. These are just some pictures from class time. And this is where they're actually involved in taking a test, I think, is what they're all doing. So they had their tests that they would do. And their tests were given. Misha basically would take the test, and he would read them the question. And I'm going to give you a sample of that in a second. So you're going to give a flavor for what they had to go through, in particular a multiple choice question. But he'd say like a lot of them are true or false. It wasn't too hard to get that. But he would read the question. They'd have to answer the questions. And this is interesting. They're all gathered around a laptop. You know, it's interesting. You think they'd all be sitting there all of a sudden break time, all these laptops would appear. And they would be doing stuff on here. And actually, you think they're discussing, looking at something really intense here. Actually, it was a video of the tsunami in Japan, I think, is what they're actually looking at here. One of them had it on his laptop and they were just saying, well, look at that, what's going on here. But I think this next picture really summarizes class time. And what you have here, whoops, is the Bible in Russian. That was the focus right there. And that their ability to take God's word and share it with the people in Russia. They said the doors are starting to, looks like they're starting to close. But that's the key. So, you ready? Test time. First question, true or false? So I'll let you read that and see what you answer. You can say true or false. No. True? False? Don't know? Don't care? Anybody? Okay, true, raise your hand. You got a few truths. Okay, you got a few truths. False? One false? You don't understand the question?
Yeah.
Well, that was an issue that came up.
I'm confirmed holiness.
Yeah. So, Pastor, that was actually part of the issue. That's actually true. And this is talking before the fall. And what the issue was, so unconfirmed holiness was part of the problem. But really, and this is what happened here, this evil or good, That brought up a firestorm of discussion. And I mean, it was like all over. And it was, and it kind of gives you an idea in their literal interpretation of things. Because this happened a lot in their questions, is that Adam, before the fall, he didn't know evil. Right? So how can he choose evil if he doesn't know evil? Well, we say, and so we find a compromise that if you take off evil or good, oh, yeah, that's fine. Well, what do you have to choose from? Evil or good. But, you know, that's kind of the idea of what you have to do. And that question, it probably was 45 minutes of discussion on that question. So poor pastor had to kind of go through and explain that. Then this one was another one on their test. True or false? False. 1 John 2:2. Look it up. Because I went through, what I was able to do is I was able to go through beforehand and read the test questions. And so before they had their, this is on their final, before, and I went through on their final and I looked at the final answer questions. I said, I got to ask about this one because I said that one's true. So I went through and looked at it and talked with the pastor about it. And, oh, yep, 1 John 2:2. And it is, in fact, false. And they all missed it too, so we were all kind of in there together. And then for the last one here, let me read this a little bit here. And it says, this is one of their multiple choice questions. And so what I want you to do is answer the question, and this is what they had to go through on their multiple choice questions. Forgiveness of sins, A, is to be treasured in our hearts forever. B, is to be passed on to those who qualify. C, is meant to reward our faithfulness. D, is meant to be passed on to others for Christ's sake. So I'll cheat and I'll give you the whole thing there. But they didn't have that. See, they didn't have that thing, that written out. So they had to listen to these multiple choice questions and come down. You know, a lot of times some of the things are like, well, which one is it? And this one, all the answer actually is that last part here. But their argument was, as well, that is also true. And so there was a lot of discussion about, you know, technically the questions, you know, they're right, but they're not really right. So how's the wording correct set up in there? So like Pat said, there's a lot of issues on what exactly does it mean. And they had a lot of those things. So that gives you the idea that theologically, they really do evaluate things and check things out carefully. These are some final pictures that I have. These are our cooks. And we never went hungry. We were fed very well. And it's funny, this lady here, that's Olga. It was so hard for me to get a picture of her by herself. She was being shy, and I could not get a picture of her. When she's with her husband, she's okay, but I was trying to sneak a picture of her otherwise, and I fought with that, so she didn't like her picture taken. This little guy, next rides what's on his shirt. Yeah, you should know what that is. So we were on a train going back to Moscow, and he comes up, and he's like looking at us, and he's just talking up a blue streak, and we're just talking to him. And then he comes in, and I had my iPad, and I had Angry Birds, and I put it on there, and oh, he was playing Angry Birds. He was quite happy until his mom came and took him and said, it's time to go. And this is Olga, Galina, and Anna. That's Pastor Peter's. This is Pastor Peter's wife and his daughter. And finally, this individual we met out. Unfortunately, I couldn't get a picture with his eyes open, and it's a little dark there, but he was a shepherd. He was just out where and Pastor will go through this when we look at some of the pictures of the camp. But he's just out there herding his sheep. And just, you know, give you an idea of some of what the people in Russia. And then finally, home. So that was very hard. When I left, I had four little monkeys crying. And it was really hard to leave. But when I came back, came to the airport, it was nice. And one of the things that was really nice is I actually was able to email and I was able to Skype while I was there. So that made it a little easier on the monkeys, I think, when I got home. And so before I go, you know, when you travel with somebody, you actually get to know someone a lot better and you get to see things. And Pastor's always made the claims that he is hates cats, but even in Russia, the cats like him. So I think...
I love cats. You know what comes next, don't you? They taste just like chicken. You can take that for what it's worth. Is the next one ready? That doesn't look familiar, so I don't think that's it. We're going to take you on a quick tour of Russia. And we will have to be a bit speedy so you'll have to watch fast. Once it's ready. We actually taught two courses this time. We had the doctrine of man, the doctrine of sin, and the doctrine of salvation. And you have to have man in order to need salvation. You have to have the problem of sin in order to need salvation. So you have to go through who is man, where did he come from, what is his nature, looking at the material part and the immaterial part, and then looking at the doctrine of sin. What is it? Where did it come from? How is it passed on from one person to another? All of those kinds of things. And then dealing with the doctrine of salvation. And what is the nature of it? What are the different elements? What are the words? What are the terms of salvation? How do you deal with all of those? So those were parts of what we were dealing with. And then we also had Homiletics 3 in the series of studies that we've been doing. And the third one is preaching sound doctrine. How do you communicate doctrine in the process of your preaching? And so they had to have an understanding of what the importance of doctrine is, and then some ideas on how to go about it. And so then they had opportunity to do that. And it was based on their previous course, which was Romans. And so they had to preach something out of the book of Romans from what had been done there. So does that look like we're ready to roll? Okay. Hurry up and wait. You ever traveled? You know exactly what that means. This is the first thing that we got to see, passport control. And you hope to find the right line to go through, and you wait in line. Then a little bit of the Moscow traffic, some of the older architecture, some of the different styles, a lot of different variety, different than what we're accustomed to seeing generally. Lenin Plaza, one of the few, if not the only, statue of Lenin that remains, I think, is right across the street from the hotel that we stay in. And that is the hotel right there, predominantly. And then, of course, you have to go to the Starlight Diner. It is, if you can read this right here, it says the original American drive-in diner in Russia since 1995, I think that says. And that's what a tourist looks like. And we had real food. Real American-style food, the last ones that we had for a while.
That's after about probably 28 hours of travel. You get there, you're just like, food, feed me, Seymour.
Yeah. So, and you can come a little bit closer and use the mic as well. This is in the same building that the hotel is in. There's a metro entrance to get down to the subway, which we didn't travel this time. The Moscow skyline, this is a new section that's going up. All new, big, tall buildings that you can see from where we are. There's men at work. You can see what it looks like for doing some construction along the road. Some car art. And look, isn't that cute?
He told you he likes cats.
Some building art. An Amerikansky turista, as they would say, with the Kremlin in the background. Oops, it went past the Kremlin, but you've seen that before. The Saturday crowd, this is around the Kremlin. There were a lot of people there. We had been warned by Artyom,
travel agent
in Moscow, Christian travel agent, when we were coming in. Our driver usually gives me the phone to talk to him to give us any details we need to know. And he said, there's supposed to be a demonstration today, so be careful. Watch out that you don't get caught up in that. So we had our eyes open. We were looking for places where there were a lot of people to know whether that was a demonstration or not.
And they had let actually we come in, and you could see they had bringing vehicles in with loads of policemen coming out, and they're walking around, and the police presence was very heavy there in Red Square and along by the Kremlin.
Yep, there was a lot of it. But we got to see the changing of the guard. By the equivalent of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, St. Basil's Cathedral on Red Square. And, of course, it was Saturday, and so there's always people having their photos taken for their weddings and a tourist on Red Square. They just had some major event here, and so they were taking down the grandstands in that area. And there's the Kremlin clock, the equivalent of Big Ben. Right next to Red Square is this huge shopping mall that looks fairly plain on the outside, but the inside's very, very ornate. For all the ladies, I'm sure you want to know where that is. Of course, there's the Cathedral of Christ Our Savior, which is not far from there, largest cathedral in Russia.
Very, very ornate inside.
Yeah, we couldn't take pictures in there. We did manage to get some from in another one, though. There's the poor that you see around there as well, and the rich, and a scratch on the side of a Rolls Royce. That's just wrong.
Lots of stretch limos. We even have the pink stretch limo, Hummer style.
And then Stary Arbat Street, which is where all the tourist shops are, McDonald's. We ended up having breakfast there a week later. One of the Stalinist buildings that's right close by. And, yes, it does look very tall standing
next to it. It's
very big.
I had a wide-angle lens, and I couldn't get the whole thing in there. So it's a big building.
So coming back from the walk, this was Saturday afternoon. We got in about 12, sometime right around noonish, and then we had a chance to park our luggage and go for a walk, and then we had to be back by about 5 for getting hauled over to the train station and loading up on water because you don't want to drink the water. You got to get the good stuff. And our driver, it's Oleg.
A man of few words. In. Passport. Stay.
He doesn't know very many English words, but on the train, have our little compartment. That picture actually makes it look bigger than what it is because it was a wide-angle lens. It's usually fairly tight quarters. Arrival in Stary Oskol, and this is where Pastor Peter, through the interpreter, said, "I'm sorry, but we will not have the chance to go to the hotel and get a shower and all of that before we go to place where you're going to preach." So we had to, after 2 days, go to the church, get changed, have a quick breakfast, and then go to the church and speak. So you have to be ready for anything. Be ready for any quick modifications that come along. This is that house of prayer. That's how they refer to their churches. They call it a house of prayer, and that's what it says on the building right here. And that's Pastor Peter's different car. He traded in his bigger one for this small, as he would say, Chinese junk. He didn't use that terminology, but that's how he kind of referenced it, a little puddle jumper, because he needed some money, so he just worked a trade with somebody, got rid of his SUV that he had gotten. And then we had breakfast again after having a little bit at the church. For all of you Lord of the Rings fans, you know what second breakfast is. Then the church service, a few shots from inside. And this was the lady who bopped Misha on the head because he was talking during the service, because he was interpreting. She didn't understand that that's what was going on. So I captured her. A guest speaker. There was another speaker before this, and then our illustrious James got to preach. And then you can see all the harvest stuff that's set up here because it's the harvest festival. And then another speaker and some hymn singing and another speaker, special music, testimony, poetry, some more special music, another speaker, and there might have been, well, there was another one that because the young man spoke who gave his testimony as well. So, but yeah, it was three, just shy, like maybe 5 minutes shy of 3 hours. So I figure we've got plenty of time.
Yep. It's getting warmed up
today, but we had a break before lunch because we had lunch that followed that. And then, of course, show and tell. James pulls out his little iPad, and everybody's glued to see the pictures and some of that show and tell, get a closer look at the harvest goodies there.
Those were big pieces of bread up on top of those brown things, very ornate bread, and I said it'd be interesting to actually try up right there by the Bible. And then what afterwards that they would do is their little pastries all tucked in there, and the kids would come up, and they would take something, kind of like a chance to get a little snack or something to take home.
Makes you hungry, doesn't it? Yeah. You got time. Time to eat again. And it was definitely close quarters. A little bit tight. A lot of people crammed into that area. And these are some of the kids that wanted their photo taken, and they wanted it with Americans because they thought that would be really cool. And then we took a ride through the countryside, kind of pretty, and it was in the area of the largest tank battle that took place during World War II, took place. And there was it's a new museum that wasn't there when we were there last time, when Richard and I were there. This has been since that. And you may recognize that building. It's right next to there. And there's a monument. And it is the Russian tank that is on top, going over the German tanks there. And nervous tourists. So it doesn't look like we're ready to get run over by a tank. Here's a map of Belgrad, and I'm sure you want to know this, but this is where Staraya Skola is right here. And this is where Gubkin is, the little town that the church is in. Pastor Peter lives here, the church is here. And the tank battle took place here in Prokhorovka. And we know of a pastor who's here and a pastor who is here. I can't remember the name right now. Shabakin, another pastor, the one who was described as the bear, Peter, he's from here, and then this is the city of Belgrad. So just to give you an idea of in the Belgrad region, and Ukraine is over here, in case you're wondering where all of that is. And then back to Gubkin, where the church is. You can see the little Orthodox, well, not little, it's the second largest in the country. Orthodox cathedral there, but you can see its size in relation to the houses. And see, I love cats.
See? More cats.
Catnap. We went for a walk Sunday afternoon after we got back, checked out a few things, the office building, went walked by the church, because we stayed in the hotel in Gubkin this time. Because the other one, then when Staraya Skola that we stayed in all the times before was full. And this is the one that's right by the lake. As you'll see, this is the hotel right there.
Right, Jason, in the hotel was also a nightclub. And so several times during like Tuesday night, I think Friday night, you could hear the bass just cranking. But he was closer to it than me. So
we had it in the other hotel, too, so kind of used to it. Here's the lake that some of us have enjoyed before. You can see there's actually some pretty places there. This is your basic hotel room. It has a bed and a desk. That's pretty much all you need.
IKEA.
Yeah. More essentials. Actually had a shower curtain this time. Didn't always have that before. So early morning walk, some nicely designed newer buildings in Gubkin. Gubkin's only about 75 years old, so it's kind of a new city in relation to some of the other ones. Some of the streets, gardens everywhere, police station, another Orthodox cathedral off in the distance, common sight, people walking in the mornings. This is a garage door, rather nicely done. You might give you some ideas for how you want to decorate your garage door at home. View by the lake, again, where the hotel is that we stayed at. The morning mist on the lake. Another cat. See that? Just love cats. Orthodox church. If you look carefully, you can see somebody up there ringing the bell.
And it was loud, so I hope you had earmuffs.
It was. Yeah, I can't imagine it was be that close to it. Then this would have been Monday. We had lunch. Soup. You can tell it's lunch because you have soup at every lunch. not at dinner time, but at lunchtime. Always have soup, and then it's your big main meal is at lunch.
And they can never answer what's the difference between soup and borscht. They tried to explain. They said, "I just you don't understand."
They said, "There's a difference,"
but they couldn't explain what it was.
So,
well, no, we have cabbage in our soup. So it's something
they said,
else.
They said there's something different about it. And here's a Leonid's car is a right-hand drive car that he had gotten from Japan. So there's a fair amount of right-hand drive cars there because the other side of Russia is right next to Japan over there. So they bring them over. So it takes a little bit to get used to being in the other side. Gas station, soccer field, edge of town, a little bit of the business district. There are various places where that was the case, but you can tell there's something else there. Some dogs wandering around. Russian dogs have a different bark. No, they don't. They're just kidding. Slight accent, but not that much. They love their flowers and their gardens and many ornate gates. Getting that, if it weren't for being able to get a walk every morning, we wouldn't see much because otherwise you'd only be going to class. But every morning we'd get an hour walk in, and then you actually get to see some things. Usually went from 7 to 8, and then we were picked up at 9, so it was time to handle things. But got a different view because I hadn't walked around Gubkin much since we stayed in Gubkin this time. Trees were beginning to turn colors, and a lot of people live in apartments, and they do clean their streets routinely. It's a newer school, and about the only time I had a chance to take pictures was when they were taking tests, so I would get a shot every now and then. See, look, James is so intent trying to figure out stuff, and there's Misha working on the passing things along. And then he took a photo break at one of the break times, and this is what he was shooting, that picture right there. Special painting that somebody that the folks at the church knew, and Misha said, look at this right here. Her hand is on something. So we had to focus in on that. And he said, it's an iPhone. She's using an iPhone. There. So we had to capture that. You'll have to figure out whether that's really what it is, but we think that's what it was. And then putting it in context where you can see the picture is behind the table. It's at the back of the church. Another morning walk. There's the serious photographer. He had a real camera. I just had a toy one.
His was handy, but he could shoot places where I couldn't because his was quiet. So.
Oh, yeah. Interesting roundabout. We should put those in all of our roundabouts. Don't know what it is. This is the direction toward Staraya Skol, if you're starting to get a map in your head of where those things are. Lovely shot of the morning sun and the railroad track. Benzene station, that's what they call it. I don't know if the spelling is right. Not a lot of pine trees. Every now and then you'll see some. Different gates, newer building along one of our walks, an older cottage. Quite a variety, an interesting decor on a door. I think we really need to dress up our garage doors a little more. We're kind of behind things here. Solid structure, more modern home, colorful morning. Music hall. This was kind of neat. We're walking by this, and we heard music playing. Somebody was playing the piano in this music hall at 7-something in the morning. Bethany can relate to that.
Right behind it, then walking around, there's like a dance studio, so I think it must have been like the center of the arts center.
Yeah, it must have been. So it was right close by the hotel. So breakfast or tea? They say, we're going to go have tea. It was breakfast. I thought it was breakfast, but they call it tea. Test time every morning. We would have a test, see if they learn anything. In the afternoon, the Salvation Theology course in the afternoon. We did the homiletics course and had the different preachers each day. And afterward, we evaluate the preaching, deal with questions, morning walk or photo shoot. We tended to shoot a bit on our walks. Some of the sites along the way. This is the road to the church. It's just up this road a little ways. And the hotel is just the other way at the hotel. The church is just up here, and the hotel is just down this way.
And what they would do is they would
half a mile.
They'd have people out pretty much every morning, people sweeping the streets, very, very clean. I mean, we could take a lesson from them, and the cleanliness of even Moscow was very, very clean. They saw them, you know, sweeping up the leaves off the street. Very rare you'd see litter. But they'd paint all these white things. You see the ladies out there in the morning painting the white stripes on the side of the road.
Again, it's amazing what you can do with an iPad. Get people's attention, show the pictures. Machina. That's what they call their automobiles. Machina. Every time somebody's automobile is having an issue, so we get to work on it. Or they do. We get to watch. Lessons to learn. A teacher. Another preacher. And different ones of them would record things on their phone. This was after the dinner meal. They decided, oh, we need to sing a song. So they pulled out the hymnals and started singing. And I can't remember if this was a granddaughter.
Yeah.
Or relative or somebody that Victor had, and she was wearing some of her food. Another walk. Couldn't get the dog to smile. This was Thursday evening. Didn't usually get to get a walk in the evenings. Electric meters, in case you want to know what those look like. Entryways, Las Vegas and Russia. This is our hotel. At night, it comes alive. It's just the hotel, but it's lovely. Supermarket, morning walk, a home furnishing store, some new apartments that look like they could be in Albuquerque, other new construction, an old valley. Down in the valley, there was a lot of these old cottages and so on, large apartment building. People waking up and getting going in the morning. Hardware store. Couldn't get James out of there. Another fountain. Local market. Off to school. Back to the hotel. The final exam. Friday morning. So much to remember. I love it. Everybody's got their hand in their head. It's like they're really working hard. And we had it easy then because all of our work was done. The brain strain. Thanks to the cooks. The final preacher, there's a bit of a story there. I don't have time to go into it, but if you want to know about that sometime, we can go into that. Some final thoughts, parting gifts, group photo, city celebration. We saw that there were some things that are getting set up. They were going to be celebrating their 70-something anniversary of the city, and so there was stuff going on. This was for Nate Saltzman. This was the monument company. It's still there, I think. It looked like it was anyway. We happened to walk by that. And this was James, better than candy.
Yeah, Hitachi, DeWalt.
Had all the fine tools
brands there.
When you get outside of the edge of town and you start seeing more homes and more familiar, newer kinds of things than what we would call suburbia.
But apparently the land was... Couldn't make out what it was, but if we interpreted the sign, their interest rate was like 16.5%. So,
not real cheap. More new construction out there on the edge of town. New soccer stadium. That was for Nate Murray. I don't know if you got to see that one, but I'm sure you'd like to play there.
It's very nice.
And I was surprised how many kids we saw. I mean, in spite of the fact that the population growth is down, maybe we happened to be the right. It was Friday evening. When we were on a walk, but with a lot of kids out, along with other folks, basic transportation, another form of transportation. Still another baby buggy, loitering. We stopped in one of these little quick stop places and found ice cream.
It was good.
Just like ice cream. Saturday morning breakfast, went to see the cathedral there, more church bells, transfiguration theme. Trying to get that perfect shot. Look inside. We were able to take some shots discreetly inside the cathedral, but it's really, some might say, overdone.
And it's also, most of it's state-sponsored. So they have deep pockets.
And you just stand in there. No place to sit. They use every inch. Yeah, maybe we need to scribble a little bit more on our walls. Or is it too much? Then we got to see the camp, where they had camped the last year or so and plan to continue to. That's where we saw the shepherd. The shepherd has provided some meat for them previously. This is where the... this is where they had their camp set up in those trees there.
About 100 to 160 youth, depending on which camp they ran.
So then stop by the chocolate factory.
Supposedly the chocolate factory produces 100 tons of chocolate a day.
We were eating as much as we could.
Yeah.
A little bit of shopping, a little bit of went to Pastor Peter's house, did some visiting, had to eat, and more show and tell, and saw Oleg, Pastor's son, and Anya, the old middle and the youngest child, and then hop on the train to Moscow, and this is where we met our new friend, who played some Angry Birds, and back in Moscow, and we'll just zip through some shots here. We started off, we got there about just before 6 in the morning, and so there's nothing else to do but go for a walk. And we got to McDonald's at 7, well, 5 to 7, it opened at 7, and mostly young people out. And this was Sunday morning, mostly young people out. We weren't sure if they hadn't gone to bed yet or if they had gotten up already.
It was $7 for breakfast. That was an Egg McMuffin, hash browns, and a small coffee, so it's not cheap in Moscow.
Nothing is cheap in Moscow. That's a play on words. It was early in the morning. More Western influence. Rolling Stone. It's amazing how much English you see around in places like that.
That's the only bike we saw anybody out riding a bike for. Well, maybe there's one other guy for exercise.
Yeah, other than just getting around. Went to Gorky Park. Walked through there a little bit wet. Saw a few sights. So that is where they went. What are they doing with this space shuttle? They have one. I don't think it's real, but an early biker. Lunch at Burger King.
They actually serve beer in the Burger King, too.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, it's off on the side. You can see it. They had.
Ah.
It looked like beer to me, so.
Might have been. So there you go. So that was a quick zip through. We had to rush there a little bit. That was not even half of the pictures. So if you want the full version, you have to make an appointment. But we went a bit late. But according to Russia time, we've got plenty of time yet. We're not even halfway. But we're going to wrap it up.